This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon, Mike, on a brisk February afternoon.
I know. It's only, what, 81 out in the parking lot right now?
It's got to be.
If you're in your truck and the heater's going full blast.
72 inside our studio here.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like that.
No.
It feels very cold.
It does. Hey, Kyle, come in here and turn the heat up.
Well, welcome to the Garden Show,
yes.
And hopefully I can give you some information that you were not aware of. And if you have a question on any of your landscaping or gardening needs, you can call 673-4464. We'll get you right on the air. You can ask your question, and I will be polite and nice and give you the right answer. How's that?
Sounds good.
That's a deal, and I don't charge anything for those answers at all. So.
No, I just have to pay him.
Yeah, he pays me under the table here.
No taxes.
Yeah, it's all illegal. Okay, and you know, as I was beginning to write this article here, my notes, etc., it was snowing lightly at my house, and then as I drove into town, it was snowing a little bit more. Mm. And I thought, boy, this is something. By the time I got over to Dutch Brothers on Garden Valley, it looked like a blizzard. I mean, it was coming down, and I thought, oh, the possibility of snow, huh? Well, here it is.
There it is.
Yeah, and I thought, oh, man. But anyway, eventually we had some intervals of rain, and that kept it from icing up all the roads and all the crazy speeders wouldn't wreck. So
yeah, there's a blessing.
Yeah. So it was a perfect spring day in February. You know, that's how good old February works. And
it's one of the strangest months for weather.
It is. It is. It, you know, right now it's like 51 or something out there. And,
yeah.
And the sun's shining, and I have a little puffy cloud here and there, and I'm thinking, What's going on? Yesterday or the day before it was snowing.
Snowing. I think it was in 69 when we had that big snow. Wasn't that February?
Well.
3 feet or so.
I don't know. You mean a snowmageddon?
No, that was just a few years ago. I mean, way back.
In 69?
Yeah.
Oh, where it closed down Roseburg?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was, maybe it was 69. It was in the 60s, I know that.
Yeah.
Because I was in Hawaii when it happened.
Oh, that's why you don't remember.
No.
You and Obama.
Me and Obama were roommates over in Hawaii. So, at any rate, the weather is interesting in February, to say the least. It's, you know, according to the weather guessers, snow is in the mix for a few more days, maybe tomorrow, but that didn't materialize, so the weather guessers were wrong again. At any rate, this is it's cold, it's damp, so it's a good time to make your to-do list for your yard and garden. You know, what can I do? What should I do? How can I do it? That kind of thing. And, you know, because spring, real spring, will be, you know, with our better weather, we'll be here, you know, in a month, maybe a month and a half for sure, and then you can put your yard plan into action. So, you know, don't push the weather. I mean, if you want to go out and work in the cold, go ahead. I mean, it's not against the law or the rules or anything like that. But, yeah. But, you know, relax. Make some plans. Read some books about growing avocados or something along those lines. But, you know, vegetable gardens will be an important item this year, you know, inflation, et cetera, and grocery prices. So, you know, get what you can, even seeds or plants that you can find. I don't know if you can find any garden plants out right now. Maybe one of the, you know, box stores have them out there. They had some other things. They always push the envelope. And try to get some seeds, get the preparation time going, and get what you can find, and get more than, you know, a little more than what you might need, and you can stash some away for next year too. So fresh produce that you can grow, of course, is a lot tastier.
Oh, yeah.
And healthier than what you can buy, because normally people don't spray a whole bunch of insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, and all the sides.
And it doesn't have a week and a half to get, arrive.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, good fresh stuff that you pick right out of your garden. You know, you got those tomatoes that are really looking good. You pick one off, take it in the house, slice it up, and then put some salt on it, and you can just devour it. It tastes different. Totally, totally different. And
corn on the cob, too.
Corn on the cob. Oh, my goodness. I go to Broside for my corn on the cob. Ah. You know, it's right down from my former business. And... you know, he always has good veggies down there, and the corn on the cob is delicious. I love corn.
I'm going to have to try it. I went to Cruz, but now that's not available.
Yeah, Cruz is not there anymore.
No, so I'm going to have to try Broside.
Broside, you know where it is, don't you?
Yeah, it's at the kind of a dead-end road.
Well, no, it's not a dead-end road. You know, as you're going into Winston, you go over the steel bridge there. Mm-hmm. And make sure you're in the left lane, because the next left turn goes right to Broside.
Oh, okay.
Goes by the Pepsi plant.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And a quarter mile, and you see Broside on the left.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was in the right direction.
Yeah, you were headed west. Yes, you're doing well, man. All right. But, you know, one of my favorite vegetables is potatoes, especially when they're French fried. But I like potatoes, I like onions and green peppers, and they're kind of staples for me for any meal, you know, fried potatoes and onions for breakfast, French fries for lunch, and baked spuds for dinner, you know.
And your heart's still ticking?
Yeah, I'm really going strong, man.
Yeah.
And but I always add some onions and peppers and things like that.
Oh, all that flavor. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah, you know. One of the first things I learned to cook, I was, seventh grade, and both my parents were working, so there were Saturdays and things that if I wanted breakfast, I learned how to cook fried potatoes. Mm. And then I, you know, had to chop up the onions and put the fried potatoes in there and the Sisco or Crisco or whatever oil, butter, I'm not sure. And I'd get them, you know, brown and crispy, and oh, man, they were so good.
Oh,
I didn't do so hot on eggs at first.
Oh.
Yeah, because I kind of broke them a little bit.
Oh, I break mine all the time.
Well,
they're still good.
They're good, but I don't do that on purpose anymore. I'm a lot better. But those potatoes were delicious. So when I started my gardening career, somewhere around in there, a few years earlier maybe, I first thing I grew was potatoes. And I grew a whole bunch of potatoes because my mom had forgotten a sack of potatoes in the cupboard, in the pantry thing. Oh. And they had the little eyes coming out and little shoots coming out.
Already half grown.
Yeah, they're half grown, right. All I had to do is put them in the ground and wait a week. You know, they were good to go. But they're a good staple food.
Yeah, they are.
And
absolutely.
And you grow them fresh in your garden, you dig them up, you can store them for a year under the right conditions, and, you know, don't set them in the sun or somewhere like that when they sprout up.
Boy, they stink then.
Yeah, keep them in the dark and keep them cool. Don't get them hot, and they will last you a long time. So I remember one time, oh gosh, I don't know if it was from my mom and dad or I did it for my wife. But one of the fruit stands had a sale on potatoes, and I bought a big old sack of them.
Oh, I remember those.
I think it was like 50 pounds or
100 pounds. Yeah.
But they were cheap. And so I said, hey, I bought them, and I took them home, lugged them in the house, and surprise. I think it was my wife, and she just rolled her eyes and went, what are we going to do with all that? I says, hey, we got enough food for a year here. Huh? We're going to eat them. You know, you're going to fry them, mash them, French fry them, you know.
There's all kinds of things.
Potato pancakes, yeah, they're good. But they're a good staple. Onions are a good staple. Green peppers are a good staple. And you can use them in, you know, so many ways. So think about that when you're doing your garden. I haven't had great success on corn because I don't get quite enough sunlight in my canyon where I live. I get enough for the smaller stuff, but the corn takes a little bit longer. So that's definitely a Broside thing, you know, because he's got acres and acres of it in the wide open there.
Yeah, he's kind of down in the valley, like.
Well, yeah, kind of along the South Umpqua.
Yeah,
right in there. Yeah. Yeah. And, he grows, like I say, good crops. I like them. And with my potatoes, of course, I always added onions and green peppers for flavor, you know. And if you ever want me to come over and cook potatoes for you, I can do it for $100 an hour plus a meal. So.
I can give you the meal.
Yeah. Now, my wife, on the other hand, she plans healthy stuff. Yeah, like green beans, cauliflower, tomatoes, red beans, and other healthy veggies. And she prepares them in such a way that I eat them. And my motto is really grow what you like to eat, and you'll always be happy. But some of the things I've learned to eat.
Squash.
You know, I haven't quite learned the squash thing yet.
I haven't either. What good are those things?
I don't know. Well, you can carve eyes and a mouth on them and put a candle in them and light them up.
Pumpkin squash.
Yeah, pumpkin squash. There you go. But my wife makes these vegetable dishes, and she's very health conscious. So consequently, I'm pretty healthy because I eat what she puts on my plate, or what I put on my plate, and what she eats. I remember one time I refused to eat a certain thing, and I learned a great lesson there, never to refuse something that my wife cooks for me. And so
yeah.
I eat the broccoli, and I eat the, you know, whatever the...
What was served?
I say, Marianne, what's that?
Yeah.
It's such and such. I said, oh, okay. And she says, it's good for you. Go ahead and eat it. Okie dokie. You got some ketchup? No, I don't.
A little vinegar.
Yeah, a little vinegar and oil. But when planting your garden, you may think that you don't have enough space to grow the food. But you know what? It's amazing how much you can grow in a little bit of space. And I've talked about this before, and a lot of this is repetitious, but it's, you know, we're getting on towards spring, and that's what people are starting to think about. So even if you live in a condo or an apartment, you can grow food in large pots on your deck, huh? Or at the front porch, wherever the sun's shining the most. You get a big old plastic pot. Oh, gosh, you can stick three tomato plants in it, and they'll all, and I've done this just to see, will they all survive? Yeah. Will they all bear fruit? You bet. And they do it well, and it's easy to maintain because it's not a lot of weeding you have to do when they're in a pot.
And
whatever water you put in goes directly to the plant,
right?
And
there,
and a little bit of fertilizer directly to the plant, and so consequently you get a good crop. The only problem is when it starts producing the crop, it's been so well maintained that it just pops out those tomatoes every day. I mean, it's going to town, baby. And so you better like those tomatoes because you'll have a stack of them before.
I'm afraid that deer would get it before I would.
Well...
do they like tomatoes?
They like everything.
Oh.
Yeah. They you know, it says, well, deer won't eat junipers. You want to bet? I've seen them eat them. And who'd want to eat a juniper, for crying out loud?
Holly. They don't like those holly leaves,
yeah,
do they?
Supposedly. But I've seen some holly bushes and holly trees that have been deer browsed.
Especially
a couple of clients out in the Looking Glass area in the hills and stuff like that. Mike, come over and see my tree. Something neat. And I go, you know, half the tree is gone. Half the leaves are gone. And it's a holly, you know, a decorative holly. You know, they hurt. Go ahead and grab one.
Yeah.
And it'll draw blood on you real quick. But the deer seem to know which leaves to eat. And be real careful where they stick their nose.
Doing a little trim on the holly.
Yeah, we're going to trim it up for this nice homeowner.
Holiday.
Here. Yeah.
Hey, you want to take a break now?
Sure, we'll take a break.
We'll do it right now.
Be right back.
What's our phone number?
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back. Lawn and Garden Show with Mike Winters, and no guest today.
No guest at all. I'm the guest.
Well, yeah, you can be too. Just dial up and tell us what you got or whatever.
673-4464, and you get right in here, ask your question, and I'll give you an answer.
Did you win anything on the Super Bowl? I mean, did you even bet on it?
I didn't even watch it.
You didn't even watch it? Okay.
I couldn't get it on my TV because Fox and the whoever couldn't agree on the money, and so it was not on our TV.
Oh, well, that stinks.
So there was a little message on the bottom of the screen, and says, turn to channel 13 to watch it in Spanish. So I went to channel 13, and there was a Super Bowl, but I couldn't understand very many words, and they were talking very rapidly, and after 5 minutes, I turned it back to something else. I mean, I couldn't...
Do they say touchdown, or is that...
I don't know what they said. I mean, they're very rapid Spanish.
Wow.
And I can speak Spanish, but I speak it very slowly.
Slowly.
And very elementary type Spanish, you know.
Yeah.
Like, ¿dónde está el baño?
What is that? I don't know.
That means, where's your bathroom?
Oh, banos.
No, baño.
Baño.
Yeah,
okay.
Not banos.
What was an S?
Jeez Louise. I'm talking about gardening, not Spanish, okay?
Or bathrooms.
Yeah. But, you know, the container gardening thing is really an easy deal, especially if you've never done it before, especially if you just want to learn and not invest a whole bunch of money in tearing up half your yard to put a big garden in, which I don't recommend that you do if you're just learning, because that way you'd probably get discouraged fairly quickly about midway through the season when the weeds took over, and you know, not having the great success that you had imagined. So container gardening is good because you can actually see how the plants are working, and if you have good soil in each pot, which normally you do, you know that they grow in this good potting mix, and they do well, and they produce, you know, lots of vegetables, fruit, etc. And it doesn't take you, you know, 15 minutes every other day to do your gardening chores, and that's a nice garden.
That's nice.
And you can have, like, if you got a patio or a deck, you know, you could put five pots of different vegetables in there. The only thing I wouldn't try to grow in a pot's like a watermelon, because, you know, it's gonna spread 18 feet or whatever.
End up on the ground.
End up in your kitchen or something. Trying to, but anything like I say, tomatoes, peppers, even potatoes, onions, garlic, you know, garden product that's small, that's not going to overtake.
Bush beans or whatever.
Bush beans
them?
Would be perfect. That would be perfect in a big pot. And it'd be, you'd be amazed at how much you can produce in those pots.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get you get to be experienced, you do that for a year or two and say, well, now I can expand it. I know how to do it. And then you can pick a nice sunny spot in your backyard or even in your front yard and get it all tilled up, worked up, added whatever soil you need to add, and then, you know, start a bigger one. But don't go bananas until you really got a routine down. And I've always made that mistake. I always planted way too much and caused myself and my wife way too much work to keep it clean and productive. And then at the end of the season, we had way too much food.
You had to give it away.
We did. We gave it away at the nursery. And, you know, people would come in and buy a tree or something and say, oh, we have a present for you, and hand them a paper bag. And they say, what's that? And I said, potatoes. or onions. And, wow, thanks.
So, you know, anybody ever say, no, you can keep it?
I don't recall. I don't. Maybe they did, but maybe they said, well, I already got a garden, and I already got too much,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know. But most folks were very appreciative, and that way we could control what we could save at home reasonably.
Sure, and it wouldn't, yeah.
But, you know, my eyes got bigger than my appetite, or whatever the proper expression would be. I thought, well, yeah, we'll have these 50-foot rows of corn, and we'll have these 50-foot rows of potatoes. And I think I got 300 pounds of potatoes that year. I'm not sure.
Wow, mama.
So, yeah, right. Maybe
that's
not.
That's a lot of
200
spuds.
For sure. 200,
yeah.
And we gave lots of sacks of potatoes away.
Did they come back the next year?
No, they boycotted us.
They didn't want anything to do with it.
We're not going there. They give us too much food. Oh, gosh. But, you know, when you get it in, like I say, in the small spot, you can learn from it. If you've never done it before, you can learn from it. And it's not a whole bunch of intensive labor doing it that way. And like I say, one mistake for new gardeners is to create a large garden that turns into a part-time job, and you lose your enthusiasm for farming, for crying out loud. And I've seen this happen very well here in the Roseburg area, you can partner up with some neighbors and share the labor and make it a fun project. If you get, you know, two or three neighbors on either side of you, and you do one garden, and everybody contributes time, effort, money, and all that kind of stuff, it can be a very productive thing, and you got neighbors for life, or you've got enemies for life, how many potatoes you plant. And then I've seen large community gardens. We have them down here on Harvard, past the Art Center. I've seen some community gardens go in there. I don't know the last year or two, but I've seen them in the past. At Redeemer's Church, we had... almost probably a good half-acre garden down there. It was crazy. Nice. We got a call?
We have a call. Good afternoon. You're on the air with Mike Winters.
Hi, Mike. Speaking potatoes,
yes.
How would you advise the best way to grow those when you have a limited space?
Well, when you say limited space, you mean...
like if I were going to do them in a container...
Okay, well, you'd want to get a large enough container, say something that's at least 18 inches to 24 inches in diameter, or, you know, wide, so that when you do plant potato, there's room for the plant to set the fruit, and potatoes are, you know.
So do we layer them? I heard that you have to, like, layer them, then put some dirt.
Maybe some people do. I've never done that, and I've grown thousands of them. And you get a potato with, you know, some good eyes that are starting to develop, and they're even growing out of the potato. And if it's a good sized potato, you can cut it into three different pieces, and you put it into the center of the container, give them each a little bit of space, and you'll be amazed at the potato bush that grows from that. And then at harvest time, you'll be amazed at how many potatoes, nice potatoes, that one potato has produced.
Okay, so they just yield like that in the dirt.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't have to be sandy or...
No.
Okay.
But I always mound my potatoes because it's easier to dig them. And when I mound them in my I've got a raised bed that I built, and I make a mound about 8 to 10 inches tall and probably 18 inches around, and I plant the potatoes right in the hill of the mound. And so then when the potatoes start to go down and they form the vegetable, they're right, you know, nearer the surface, and it's easy digging because it's all good potting mix type of soil.
And it
works the same way in a pot.
So just a big old pot, and I should yield at least a bag full.
Oh, yeah. Easy.
5-pound bag or something?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. You might be amazed. You get 20 pounds of potatoes. No, but, or a box, a wooden box.
Should I do that? Do I do that now?
No, it's a little premature. Yesterday we had snow, or the day before, I forget. Let it get a real spring, you know, the mid-March, 1st of April will be fine. They like heat.
Okay.
They like heat. They don't like a lot of water.
Okay, and then limit my watering on them if they're in a pot?
Yeah, damp is all you need, barely damp.
Okay,
And that might be, you might water them once a week, maybe. You have to feel the soil. If it feels damp, ignore it. You know, and if it feels dry, give it a good shot.
I'm going to try a container of... A couple containers of them.
Sure. You'd be amazed at what you can produce.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mike.
Well, thank you for the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All righty. Lines are open again for you.
That's 673-4464. And we can do potatoes, onions, carrots, trees, whatever question you want. Even lawns, for crying out loud.
Squash.
Yeah, squash.
I don't like squash.
Well... My wife,
I suppose it's good for you.
It is. That's what my wife tells me. And she always puts a few squash plants in there, but she prepares them in such a way that they're edible.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't eat a lot of it, but I take some out of politeness and put it on my plate.
And keep the peace.
And I go, oh, boy, the squash is so good, honey.
Great.
You did a great job cooking it.
Did those things start in the South, squash?
Well, I don't know.
It seems, I don't know. I'm just thinking maybe it's a Southern dish more so
it could
than,
be. It
more
could
so
be.
Than up north or
well,
whatever.
It could be because in the South you have normally you have longer growing seasons, so they could do multiple crops. And squash is kind of a staple, actually. I guess it's, you know, chock full of nutrition and vitamins and all that. I'm not sure. My wife could answer those questions. Yeah. But, you know, it's very prolific. I mean,
oh, yes,
you
it
put
is.
One squash plant in, man, I'll tell you.
You got 16.
You got them all over the place. And the problem is when they start to ripen, they ripen too fast.
Sure. Yep,
all
yep.
at once, it seems. So you got to, when I plant some squash on Monday, and then 2 weeks later plant another squash, and then 2 weeks after that plant another squash, so you don't have 40 pounds of squash all at once.
At once, yeah.
Because I don't think they keep very well.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
I remember Dad planted a whole bunch of them 1 year, and good heavens, he couldn't give them away.
No, nobody wants them.
Nobody wants them.
Oh, they're a good health food. Yeah, well, you eat it then.
Yeah. You stick it in your pipe and smoke it. Yeah. All right, we got to take a break here. We'll be right back.
All right.
What's our phone number again, Mike?
673-4464.
All righty. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty, I think that's us.
Okay, we're back.
We are.
We're back. We're growing vegetables and trying to make it easy for you, or easier than it, than you know, would.
What you think it might be.
Yeah, right, exactly. I know that. But, you know, think about this. With the prices of the grocery store, you know, everybody knows about that. You know, store produce is going up. And up and up, and, you know, you can explore new ideas.
Have you seen the price of apples?
No, I don't. My wife could tell you.
Outrageous.
Are they? Yeah. $1 an apple, I think.
Yeah, just about. Yeah.
I think that's what she got them at Freddy's or something like that. You know?
I don't buy them unless they're under $1 a pound, but I can't seem to find any.
Well, you know, I know there's some places you could buy an apple tree.
Yeah.
But, you know, growing your own food is good. It's a good diet. There's plenty of exercise.
Yep.
It'll make a real improvement in your life, mentally, physically, and spiritually. How's that?
There you go.
And it's less expensive than a gym membership, okay, at the YMCA. You know, my parents, they started me out early. They grew a garden most years, and as a young boy, very young boy, I learned early on where vegetables came from. So if you have children at home, put them on the weeding detail. It's better than Facebook, I'll tell you that. And, you know, they'll learn something from it and be able to grow food on their own. But my parents also taught me the difference between vegetables and weeds. Can you imagine? This is a vegetable, this is a weed. So I was the guy in charge of pulling the weeds. And I pulled an occasional carrot thinking it was a weed, and I got chastised.
They look like it.
Well, yeah, the tops
little
did.
Little fuzzy things.
Well, that's the way when this big orange thing came up, and I thought, oh, that's a carrot. That wasn't a weed.
I'll eat this one.
But and they paid me with free room and board. And my parents were generous. But my gardening career began at an early age, like about 7, I think it was, somewhere in there, second grader or something. And I soon, after graduating from a weeding school in my backyard, I soon began mowing the neighbor's lawn for 50 cents. 50 cents, man. You could buy 10 ice cream bars for 50 cents for
you could. Oh, yeah. I remember them days.
Oh, yeah. And the guy in the little truck with a little song coming out, he'd come down the street. Oh, hey, I want some ice cream.
Now you can't because you can't trust him.
I know. And the problem with mowing the neighbor's lawn, the mowers back in those days didn't have little motors and engines on them.
No.
You had to push them.
Yep.
And, you know, 7-year-old pushing a mower is quite a deal. The benefit for me, of course, was I had more muscles than anyone in the second grade, and you didn't need a membership at the YMCA either. So,
yay,
hey, I was in
good
shape from the word go, baby. And then my dad used to put dead fish in a small brick planter on our porch, and then he would plant rose bushes on top of the fish. And I thought, what in the world? Okay. Oh. And those roses grew fast, and they had the best blooms in the entire neighborhood.
Did they stink?
No. We covered them with dirt and soil. But I learned early on about fish fertilizer and its benefits.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, not that you want to go down and catch a bunch of fish and throw them in your yard, but, you know, that's what a lot of folks did back in the day. And I guess looking back, I was destined to become a landscape contractor and own a nursery. So all the little things that I was trained to do when I was a young lad. But it was good. And then in my ranching career, when we had ranches, I learned the value of fertilizer. Because I was put in charge of cleaning horse stalls, cow barns, and chicken pens.
Yummy.
Yeah. And the material I removed and loaded into a wheelbarrow, I then wheeled to the garden for fertilizer. Yep. And that's why we had so many weeds in the garden, because it was so well fertilizer from cow, horse, and chicken manure. But on the plus side, our gardens had the best and biggest fishing worms and vegetables.
Oh,
so,
sure.
You know, I was quite a fisherman back there in those days, and we'd get in the garden and start, and it'd be loaded with worms. And it was because of all the manure that we had worked into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And they loved it, and the worms are eating it. And then you just get in there and dig them around, and you got these big, juicy worms. Go down there to the creek, throw them on the hook, throw that out there, and bingo.
You then have you a good size. Start the cycling over again with dead fish.
You bet. You get the dead fish, put them in the rose bed, baby. So I learned organic gardening like back in the 1950s, you know, like 1956, 57, right?
When men were men.
Yes, when boys were men, or had to be.
Yeah, had to be.
And I still believe that natural ingredients grow the best worms and vegetables. I've seen it. I know it happens. And I'm not against commercial fertilizer. I talk about it all the time. I've used it for 50 years in my nursery and landscaping business and with all my clients and things like that. But I still, in my garden at home, I fertilize that lightly with commercial fertilizer, but I've got, you know, a big compost pile going, those kinds of things, and I use a lot of natural products and potting soils and sand and that kind of thing, and mix it all in with the natural soil that was there, and it grows a heck of a garden very, very quickly, and it almost grows things too big, because they grow so tall, they get heavy and start to lean over, like a, you know, a 4-foot tomato plant with big old tomatoes on it.
No.
It can't stand there, so we got to put stakes all the way around it, and then put string around it,
to hold
it upright, so we can get the fruit off of it, for crying out loud. And so, you know, but the better you make the soil, the better the produce is, and the quicker it is. So, and for instance, most of my clients, you know, preferred using the fertilizer out of the bag when I was a landscape contractor. Well, I'm still one, but I don't do it very actively in the last month and a half. But they still like that commercial fertilizer on their lawns and shrubs, rather than the organic matter that comes from barns or chicken coops, you know, that kind of thing. It's easier to walk on, and it doesn't have the odor that the natural fertilizer.
Oh, that sweet smell of success.
Yes, yes. And which brings me to the point of telling my clients that it's time to fertilize lawns, shrubs, and trees, because plants are beginning to come out of their dormancy, and they're going to need nutrition for best growth results in the coming months. And it's kind of a constant It's a constant reminder because some folks, they do it a little bit late in the year, and yeah, they'll get some good results from it. But if you start early and you have a granular commercial fertilizer and you spread it around a tree or a shrub or something like that, it takes about a month with water or rain or whatever. It takes about a month to break down the granules so they get down into the root system before the plant root system begins to absorb them up into the plant. Mm. So you can do it late, but then you have late results. But if you do it early on, the timing, February, March is a good time. And so by April and May, you know, your plant materials, your garden, your trees, your fruit trees, whatever, your lawns, they're getting that full benefit at the right time of year, and you get good produce and a good looking lawn all at once. So it'll create a lot of work for you keeping everything pruned, trimmed, and balanced.
Feel good doing it.
But it looks good, I'll tell you. You know,
it does.
Neighbor comes over, what did you do to your lawn? You know, I did this and did that.
And you can't have any.
And I can sell it to you for twice the price that I bought it for.
There you go. That's
inflation, you know. Oh, gosh.
Blame it on whoever.
Yeah. So, you know, that's all part of what I've done for the last 50 years is, you know, advising people. And, you know, and plants now are beginning to come out of dormancy and it's going to need new nutrition for the best growth results in the coming months. And, you know, you don't have to do it every week, you know, once every couple of months in the spring and maybe sometime in September and October, you give it a little something for the winter. Mm-hmm. And you don't force any growth because the days are getting colder and shorter, so it kind of shuts down naturally. But what's cool about plants, shrubs, trees, etc., they will absorb, the roots will absorb the fertilizer, but they'll store it. There's no growth happening, but they store it in their root system so that when the right time comes around in March or April, then the whole process starts up again, and then they send it up into the shrub or the
tree.
That's
cool.
Yeah. I mean, they're smarter than they look, huh?
Yeah. smarter than some people.
Well, that's true, too, but I'm not going to say that. But the spring rains, you know, they'll activate the lawn food, and the lawns will be, you know, really green in about a 30-day time frame, maybe 40 days. Again, depending on the weather, if we have 2 feet of snow, it slows that process down. If we have a week of really 25-degree, 27-degree weather, it slows the process down. But again, if the plants are semi-dormant, they're not using the material, and the material is still in the ground. So that's, you know, you're not wasting anything. Mm-hmm. And then healthy lawns and plants can resist disease. They can resist bug damage better than unfertilized plants and shrubs. And that's a good thing. Because a weak plant, if it's weak, in a weakened state, and, you know, it's kind of, you know, average or below average in its growth, when whatever virus is floating around in the spring or the bugs that are floating around in the spring looking for something to eat, well, that's the plants that they will attack, because that plant can't really fight them off because it doesn't have the energy or the oomph to restore itself. Some plants are tougher than others, I mean, but you'll learn that as you do this kind of thing. And if the fertilizer, like I say, if you feed the fertilizer and it doesn't get down to the root zone for 30 days, that's okay. It's you know, mid-March, April, it'll be active, it'll come on, and you'll see magnificent growth and health from your plants. And like I say, another feeding, you know, early summer, you're good till then October. And, you know, October, you give it a light feeding so it goes through the winter in a healthy state. Do we have a...
Oh, we got a break, but I was going to tell you, that was a word my mom always used. Oomph.
Oomph?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that word.
Yeah. Usually talking about a car going up over a hill or something. Come on, you got to give it oomph.
Well, that's the word my mom used when I was weeding in the garden. Oomph, come on, get some oomph in you.
Yeah. We'll be back with more oomph. Mm-hmm. And you, what's our phone number?
673-4464.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All righty. We're back once again. The final segment of the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show, 673-4464.
You never remember that number, and you work here for crying
out loud. I know.
Well,
I got too many other things in the head.
You ought to write it on your forehead.
Yeah.
And then look in the mirror, and then you can translate.
Kyle, that's a good thing to write up right up here on the computer.
I'll do it for you in felt pen. Yeah. He'll enjoy that.
He'll love it.
Anyway, I'm talking about, you know, gardens and how to grow them and feed yourself and feed the neighborhood at the same time because you put too much stuff in. But, I mean, I've done that, so I can speak from experience. But a healthy plant, one that's been fertilized properly, one that's been planted properly, one that's been watered properly, can do well even in a drought with prolonged hot weather simply because it's well-fed. It's well taken care mm-hmm. of. The basic needs of the plant have been met for, you know, a few months. So if we get a hot spell for 2 weeks, it just doesn't give up the ghost and drop to the ground. It sustains itself because it has the energy and the wherewithal to do that because of the proper care that you gave it. And as I've said 10,000 times in the last 20 years, overwatering is bad, over-fertilizing yep. is bad, and not pruning and shaping is bad. And if you do and learn how to do these things, you're going to have a beautiful yard. You're going to have a healthy yard, and no matter what it is, and it's always going to look good, and mm-hmm. you'll enjoy it.
Sure.
It's not fun to have a trashy yard because then you cannot enjoy it when it's full of weeds or blackberries and
bugs
and stuff like that. So
I was going to say something else, but bugs would.
Yeah, bugs are good. But just remember, plants that are not fertilized at all. What?
We got a phone call.
Okay, we've got a call.
Hey there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Yeah, I had a question about you've been saying that now would be a good time to start putting on some fertilizer.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit more specific as far as, like, if I was to use some Triple 10, like, how much fertilizer for, you know, like, some small Leland cypress trees and some arborvitas and things like that?
Well, on small, you know, Triple 10 is good. It's not going to do any real damage if you make a mistake and put a little too much on it. But, you know, for small plants, you just put like maybe a teaspoonful scattered around the base of the plant, not touching the stem, you know, of 4 or 5 inches away from the stem, and just surround the plant. And that's a good first feeding, especially if they're young plants. And when you see the results of that, you can up the ante a little bit. You can maybe put a little bit more just to see how they're going to take it. But you don't do it for, you know, at least 30 to 40 days, you know, and Triple 10 is good, and make sure it has trace elements involved in it. Get a good well-rounded fertilizer, I guess.
Okay, so if these are like, 4.5 feet tall arborvitas that have been planted for a few years, is that still... We're talking just like teaspoons.
No, you're talking probably a small handful. Maybe your regular size handful could do 3 plants.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah.
And just kind of sprinkle it around the base.
Yeah, just kind of toss it, and it'll just, you know, naturally spread out around the root zone.
Okay. All right. Perfect. That's what I was wanting to know. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
All righty.
We got more time?
We got about 3 minutes.
No, oh,
probably not enough time to take another call. But
well, maybe not.
Unless it's a quickie.
Well, just remember this. Plants that are not fertilized at all are weaker. So when heat or dry conditions are prolonged, those plants are not going to do as well, and some may even die. So a strong plant is going to be able to survive. Just like a strong person who has a good... well-balanced diet, yeah. and sickness comes along, they don't get deathly ill. They might get the sniffles or something like that and get through it. Whereas a person who eats Snickers bars every day and drinks Pepsi, not in as good shape, consequently the disease kills them. But, you know, the
plants... That's not a slam against Snickers. Or...
No, I love Snickers. That's why I mentioned it. And I eat an occasional Snickers. You know, but fertilizer builds strong root systems, and strong root systems build strong shrubs and trees. In time, mature trees and shrubs have developed large and strong root systems, and they can do well even in the toughest climate conditions because they're strong, they're healthy. Don't overdo the fertilizer when applying it. You can always add more later or on if it's needed. And these are just some of the basic rules for, say, the novice gardener or one that has been doing it, you know, a short time but doesn't know the tricks of the trade, if you will. And as you become more experienced, you'll learn to know what your plants need for optimum results because you'll be looking at them. If you're an avid gardener, you're in the garden. You're looking at your plants. You're looking at your vegetables. You're looking at your trees. I do at my house all the time. When spring rolls around, they start leafing out. I walk around in the evening if it's not raining or snowing. And check them out. How they look. How do the leaves look? Are they strong? Are they healthy? Are they... You know, you just get to know them, if you will.
Yeah.
And you can tell, yeah, I think I might need to fertilize that a little bit more. Or no, it has just right amount. And I way back when I over-fertilized a few things, and I saw what I did to them.
Ouch.
They grew real fast for about 30 seconds before the leaves turned brown and the plant fell down on the ground.
No revival.
That's a bit of an exaggeration, but it took a few days for the plant to fall.
Yeah,
but
you get the picture.
Yeah, you get the picture. You know what's happening. But, you know, be conservative. I know that's a nasty word on radio, but be conservative in your fertilizing or in your watering. Don't overdo any of that. Just do it the way it should be done. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
All righty. I was going to ask you what the phone number is.
673-4464, but don't call.
No, not now. Oh, I meant at the nursery, but it's not your nursery anymore.
Yeah, so. But the number is still 679-8224.
There you go. All right. The Afternoon Report is next on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.